Here at Ritual, we know that a mother's support isn't limited to one day a year, and we believe that yours shouldn't be either. So this Mother's Day, we're honoring the world's biggest supporters with science-backed daily rituals that center you not just today, but every day. Whether you're thinking about motherhood, actively trying, or already there, we've got you covered for when it matters most. From fertility support and natal choline to our best-selling clinically-backed prenatal multivitamin, know that you're getting clean, traceable key ingredients in bioavailable forms. Because let's be honest, you don't have time for guesswork. Find your ritual. Go to ritual.com/podcast and for a limited time, get 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Based on net sales from industry data, including Nielsen IQ, Stackline, and Numerator as of Q4 2024 in top five products.
Hey, everybody, this is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today. Hey, everybody, before we get into this week's episode, I just want to remind you, we are doing the Shape of Shadows premiere on August 19th, 2023, exclusively premiering on theshapeofshadows.com. We are self-releasing this film where me and my team went out to Space Wolf Research, which butts up against Skinwalker Ranch. We performed an entire week of investigating the area, trying to uncover the mysteries. We did capture things on video. This was a fantastic time that we had out there, and we want to share it with you guys. The Shape of Shadows film coming August 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time exclusively on theshapeofshadows.com. This is going to be a live premiere. Then we're going to do a live Q&A afterwards. That gets you with the VIP tickets. The VIP plus tickets is all that plus the Shape of Shadows t-shirt, exclusive limited edition, available to the VIP Plus ticket holders. You can get your tickets at theshapeofshadows.com, where we will be premiering this film on August 19th. Now let's get to this week's member episode.
Merkle Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
Saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg and I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Yep. To the show, everybody, you're listening to the Confessionals podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkle. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me, just get a hold of me. Welcome to another members episode. We have a fantastic conversation here with Isaiah today. Isaiah contacted us about his lost time, missing time experience that he had one night while driving home from his girlfriend's house, but it does not begin and end there, my friends. Isaiah has a lot of different experiences he wants to talk about, including the time where when he was driving home from his girlfriend's house, he has this lost time situation happen, but the reason why he had this lost time situation happen is because he hit a creature with his vehicle that he thinks caused the whole situation to happen with the lost time. This creature is exclusive to Pennsylvania. I've never had somebody on my show talking about having an encounter with the squonk until Isaiah. And he didn't know what this thing was until recently when he started seeing pictures of the squonk and said, that's what I hit. And it makes a lot of sense because where it's rumored to be is where he hit this thing. Fantastic conversation. I know you guys are going to enjoy it. So let's get to Isaiah and him ramming the squonk with his car right now. All right, today we have Isaiah on the show. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, Tony?
Dude, I'm good, man. You hail from my old neck of the woods, which is crazy. I didn't expect that, but nice to meet you. You are in the... I'm not going to give the town you're in because people might come try finding you and what you're about to talk about today. You know, you never know. But you're in the Philly area, and it's crazy. It's crazy sometimes when I... Because here's the thing, like... When I moved down here to Tennessee, I was pretty convinced nobody in the Philly area listened to my show because I never got emails from anybody from the local area. And here you are. And you actually emailed in 2022 when we were in the middle of the moving storm. We were moving down here. But, you know, I moved down here to East Tennessee and shoot, dude, like there's a lot of people down here that are into these topics and talk about it. It's been great. But it's always good to talk to somebody up there in the north locally. You emailed us about a few different things here, and I want to kind of explore these topics with you in on your terms and on your pace. And I'm going to let you kind of take the reins as to the direction you want to go and stuff like that. But I just want to give people a taste here. Now in the email, you talked about demonic possession. And I called my one friend who's my cameraman Ward about you, but he didn't answer. And so I wish I had answers to questions that I already have in my head from him before I even talk to you. Unfortunately, I do not. But you believe you opened yourself up to something like an entity when you were younger, and I don't know if this is exactly attached to that, but you mentioned how you saw a black crow or bird fly into, I'm assuming, your body. And so there's that. And that I wanted to call him because I was just going to say it to you. I have a feeling he would say that's Lilith. And there's a whole thing about Lilith that you might want to go down and look into. I'm not the guy. I'm not the expert on it stuff. Actually, Ward is my expert on it. But anyways, we're also going to be talking about lost time, but this lost time I find interesting because it seems to be connected to a cryptid experience that you had. And I'm just like, that's interesting in itself. And then at the end, you said that there's some kind of friend that you had that was a witch or something like that. So we'll get into that as well. But I'm going to let you kind of take it off here. And I'm assuming we're going to start with the demonic stuff because I traditionally open up with, you know, in order how things unfold for you. But if you feel there's a better direction to go with it, go for it.
Yeah, I'll try and be as chronological as I can.
Okay.
Just to kind of, I don't have to give exact coordinates, but yeah, I'm from the Bucks County, you know, a little bit further off in Philly. But yeah, when I first started listening to you back in like 2019, I was like, holy cow, this guy is like right like down the road from me, essentially, like in terms of, you know, as far as you could be anywhere else in the country. And that's what like kind of made me such a huge fan. I was like, I didn't realize that there was so much stuff in my area. I always thought of like cryptids, like being like in California or like Montana or something like that. And when I would hear some of the stories, you know, of your, some of your past guests, and they would talk about places that I grew up, you know, in the Poconos or in all these other areas. And I was like, wow, there's all these cryptids going on. And it started to kind of like validate a lot of things that I experienced in my life. Cause, you know, to be honest, before like the pandemic even happened, it's kind of funny. Like I almost thought that like there was something like special about my life until like I started like hear people's stories. I was like, oh wow, maybe I'm like not that special. I did not say that like, you know, that I'm not special, but you know, I didn't really even think that people experienced the paranormal, because I just, I don't know, I guess I was just always so within my own world that I didn't really think that anyone else would have gone through that. You know, I guess to kind of start it off, without giving you my life story, there was a very specific instance in my life that started off everything supernatural. And I know that in the past, talking about dreams would have seemed kind of like not important or hard to really kind of determine if it's relevant, because it's so like subjective. But the more that I listen to your podcast and other podcasts talking about portals and visions and different things that are, you know, biblical, I start to kind of realize the importance of dreams. And I remember being very, very young and having a dream, a very, very specific dream. And to kind of give a background to this dream, like, I am a born-again Christian. You know, I grew up in the church, a Pentecostal church, Assembly of God. And, you know, fell away from the church at one point. But I'll kind of go back to that road as it kind of ties into the story. You know, I had this vision of me walking to my house's giant window that kind of oversees our property when I was a child. And I remember, like, my mother, my sister, my dad standing beside me, and I was looking up into the sky, and there was this fake king that was in the sky, and it was like this image of like this. It was like a king, but it was like the face was like a lion, but it almost looked like a cartoon. I was very young; I was probably like 5 or 6. And then I remember like looking at my mom, and I remember her crying and screaming and pointing up to the sky and saying, "That's not the real king. That's not the real king." And I remember that like image being burned into my mind and having such a profound impact on my worldview as I was growing up in the church, and I was starting to learn about, you know, end times and all these different kind of prophetic things that you can kind of go into, and especially when we're talking about Project Bluebeam and all these different things that kind of exist.
So the fact that you said Project Bluebeam confirms that you do listen to Sam Tripoli's podcast.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you went that direction, because as soon as you said that your mom said that's not the real king, the first thing that popped in my head, Project Bluebeam.
Yeah. And I didn't really realize that until like later on, like when I was a little bit older and, you know, I started to read a little bit more. But I remember like growing up in church and like kind of like hearing, you know, people's interpretations of like end time prophecies and kind of having like this visceral connection to that dream or vision. And it was, you know, one of 2 or 3 dreams of my life that I never really forgot. And they would just always replay. I would have like, you know, reoccurring nightmares of it. And as I started to kind of grow up in the church, I started to really become very afraid of things that were to come. And this was, you know, I'm 32 years old right now. And, you know, when I was really young, you know, I'm talking about like 10 through 15 years old. And, you know, the church was very kind of, how do you say, like, they're very prophetic in nature, in the sense that they would talk about, you know, things to be kind of, you know, looking out for. And it almost like scared me so much that I didn't really even want faith, because I was like, you know, why am I following a God just so I can protect myself from destruction that's coming my way?
Right.
And I, it really started to like really kind of create a bad relationship with, you know, religion, because I was seeing people, you know, speaking in tongues and doing all these different things. And I was like, well, we're just kind of preparing for like this, like end times battle that I don't really want to be a part of. So eventually I just kind of stopped going to church. you know, and I, you know, I started to kind of get involved in drugs and alcohol and, at a very young age. And, you know, that kind of derailed me and kind of got me involved in gangs and, you know, just different types of crime. And I started to just kind of go in the opposite direction as far as I could, because I wanted to just kind of get as far away from the upbringing that I had as possible, until I ended up, you know, getting arrested, and I spent some time in jail, and, you know, definitely experienced some things there that kind of shaped me as I got older. And, you know, kind of went through like this very long battle of sobriety that took a good amount of time, you know, up until like my 20s off and on. But, you know, one of the biggest things that really started to fast track some of the supernatural things in my life was my obsession with the occult and hallucinogens. I started to really take a lot of LSD and mushrooms, and I was really just kind of poisoning myself to like an ungodly degree with drinking like cough syrup and different over-the-counter medications. I was literally just trying to kill myself without intentionally just kind of setting the date. And, you know, one of the things that really was being kind of permeated in the subculture that I was in was, you know, prying open your third eye. You know, a lot of it was led by bands like Tool and, you know, different kind of psychedelic metal bands that were really kind of talking about, you know, just kind of like supernatural ascension and talking about like Aleister Crowley and different things that I started to kind of get curious about, because, you know, I started to kind of have this mentality, you know, I don't want to follow God and have him do things his way. Let me try and pry open my third eye so I can understand the supernatural my way. And let me learn everything about the occult and the demonic my way, so I can kind of see what's coming down the pike and kind of be like that deathbed Christian where it's like, okay, when things get too bad, I'll give my life back over to him. But until then, I'm just going to continue doing what I want to do, you know, partying and just kind of living my life however I wanted to do it, while still kind of keeping my eye on the news and world events and all these different things. And I just, you know, I was just very like hypocritical, and I was very into understanding all these like prophetic things in different religions and trying to kind of amass this understanding that would kind of protect me if need be, if things got too hairy. You know, but as I started to really start to kind of get into the psychedelics, I started to experience a lot of, you know, like sober manifestations that I know some people might want to categorize as, you know, either mental illness or whatever. But, you know, I don't necessarily think that's the case, just due to the nature and the reality and the tangible nature of what had happened. And I guess like one of the biggest situations that had happened, you know, started off like when I was, you know, probably, I want to say either finishing up high school or slightly after high school, I had a vision of hell, and it was something that I know that God had done to spare me. And I know that sounds kind of crazy to some people, but he gave me a warning of where I was headed and gave me a very small percentage of feeling of what was awaiting me. And I remember it as initially a dream, but it was a very physical place that I went to. And I was kind of put in the gates of hell. And it was very dark. And I remember it being pitch black. And I remember seeing metal gates, very large gates. And I remember as I started to walk towards the gates, it became darker and darker and darker, until I couldn't see anything, but I felt like an enveloping darkness around me. And I remember hearing footsteps walking with me and almost like being able to sense people walking in the direction that I was walking. But I remember feeling the pain. I remember feeling, not in terms of heat or fire, but a smothering feeling, a suffocation of almost feeling like you're being like compressed and crushed. Like if you were to think of being like in the bottom of the ocean, like that crushing feeling. And it never stopped. It never eased up. You never got used to it. It was just continuously crushing. And I remember I was able to feel it. I felt the Lord allowing me to feel maybe 10%, maybe 5%, just enough to make it real. And as I started to walk and feel the pain, I was brought back. And I remember screaming and crying and gasping for air, like almost as if like I was suffocated in my bedroom. And I remember running out to my mom and telling her that what I'd seen. And you know, she was very understanding of the things that I was going through, but you know, she was just kind of like what you would call like a prayer warrior. She just kept on praying for me, and you know, wasn't someone who would limit what I would do. She just trusted that the Lord would either be merciful or show me the errors of my ways in his way. And you know, she just kept on telling me, you know, he wants you back. He wants you back. You know, stop running away.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Here at Ritual, we know that a mother's support isn't limited to one day a year, and we believe that yours shouldn't be either. So this Mother's Day, we're honoring the world's biggest supporters with science-backed daily rituals that center you not just today, but every day. Whether you're thinking about motherhood, actively trying, or already there, we've got you covered for when it matters most. From fertility support and natal choline to our best-selling clinically backed prenatal multivitamin, know that you're getting clean, traceable key ingredients in bioavailable forms. Because let's be honest, you don't have time for guesswork. Find your ritual. Go to ritual.com/podcast and for a limited time, get 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Based on net sales from industry data, including Nielsen IQ, Stackline, and Numerator as of Q4 2024 and top 5 products.